You're listening to the 10 Bagger Podcast, presented by The Daily Gold. Join us as we uncover tomorrow's 10 baggers today. And now here's your host, Jordan Royburn.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the 10 Bagger Podcast for episode number 18. Sorry, guys, we haven't had an episode in a while, and that's because I've been busy busy quarantining, but also busy trying to find more 10 baggers for my subscribers. And lo and behold, something that's happened in recent weeks, we see uranium going crazy, or at least uranium stocks. That's why we have to have my next guest, Justin Hune, back on the show for a second time. He is the founder, editor, publisher of The Uranium Insider. You can also just call him The Uranium Insider. Justin, thank you so much for returning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Yeah, thanks, Jordan. Thanks for having me back. I didn't realize that it's been a year since we first talked.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to make this an annual thing. Maybe every December, beginning of every winter, beginning of every winter, end of every year, we'll have you back. And I'm really looking forward to this. And what's been going on with the uranium stocks? I mean, I want to ask, why have they started to move? I know the simple answer is more buyers than sellers. Obviously the energy stocks, the conventional energy stocks, they've been making a huge move higher. That would be my guess, but can you pinpoint why exactly the uranium stocks have started to move and what is behind this move?
Sure. Yeah, I'll see if I can shed some light on this as far as what I'm seeing out there. So what's interesting is this: we've seen a really big move over the past 3 weeks, just about. While the underlying commodity, just the spot price of uranium, hasn't moved very much, it's starting to tick up this past week since Cameco announced they would close Cigar Lake again due to just kind of precautions around COVID. They've had a few cases pop up both at McLean Lake Mill and also at the mine. So they're being precautious on that front, and they're starting the process of shutting Cigar Lake down for an undetermined amount of time. So we're starting to see spot price move. It's probably due to maybe a bit of traders speculating, but also I think Cameco is probably starting to purchase. We know that even with Cigar running, they need 10 to 12 million pounds this coming year, in addition to, because Kazatomprom is going to need around the same. So the two big producers are going to need to buy pounds off the spot market in pretty significant volume, and I think that's starting. That's my belief of what's going on with the spot market starting to move. But this big move happened before that, which has a lot of people kind of confused. But basically, as far as I can tell, what happened was there was an article released by the Bear Traps Report. This was Friday. Let's see. Let me look at my calendar here. This was Friday the 4th of December. That article came out in the morning to the Bear Traps Report, which is a pretty large, mostly institutional followed newsletter. And the market went wild on Friday. Really, really big volumes. That day saw the largest volume ever for NextGen Energy. It saw, multi-year record volumes for all of the big caps, including the ETFs. And at the market end that day, after market on the 4th, that same article from the Bear Traps Report was picked up by Zero Hedge and published out after hours, which kind of fueled the fire over the weekend. Those volumes continued the following week. And what we're really seeing here, in my opinion, is some institutional money start to come into the space. And it's just such a tiny, tiny sector. I mean, we're still under $20 billion here for the market cap of the entire uranium sector that's publicly traded, which is nuts. You know, this is 10, 11% of global energy production, 20% in the States. It's just stupid low valuations here, even after this run. But we're starting to see really good volumes on the mid and large caps, and even with the ETF. So URA has added, gosh, I don't have it in front of me, it's north of 2 million shares here, and it equates to around something like $30 million of funds going into the uranium space simply through URA alone. So we're starting to see some good funds come into the space, and the stocks are up huge over the course of a few weeks. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that this sector has just been mired in a bear market for so long, even though the commodity has been up since its low in 2018 of, I think it was down to $18. No, I'm sorry, 2016 was the low in the commodity at $18. And we're up, 60-something% from there. The stocks haven't really responded in kind to that move off of the bottom. So this is really sort of a reaction to institutional money coming into the space, underpinned by really fantastic fundamentals just across the entire sector. And I think you're right, Jordan. The Bear Traps Report article did mention that uranium had been underperforming energy stocks this past like Q3, Q4. So in comparison to, let's say, oil and gas, nickel, copper, things like that, iron ore even, uranium hadn't really moved. So the article is highlighting this typically seasonally strong metal in uranium has not really caught a bid yet. And they saw that as being an opportunity to speculate on that. So that's, in my opinion, that was kind of the spark that set it off. And now that we have the spot market actually moving, it's just such an incredible setup to have all of this attention and all of these funds flowing into the space, and now to have the commodity move to sort of underpin the already rising sentiment. It's fantastic.
Now, quick follow-up. You said the market cap of the sector was $11 billion or $10
billion? No, I said that it was 10 or 11% of total global energy production in nuclear. And the market cap of the whole sector, last week it was somewhere around $15 billion. It's up a bit since then. So I believe it's still under $20 billion for the entire uranium, publicly traded uranium companies.
Do you have that figure going back 10 years?
I don't. I believe at the peak of the bull market, let's say 2007, it was in the multiple hundreds of billions. I think it was north of $300 billion, if I recall correctly. It might have even been more.
Wow. That's...
Yeah, I don't have that figure right in front of me, but I know we're not far off the lows when it comes to total valuation for the sector. So, yeah, it's completely mispriced, in my opinion.
Now, I think going back to that point in time, do you recall how many uranium companies there were? I mean, I want to say maybe 100 legitimate companies, but maybe the total was 150, around there.
The total at the peak was actually closer to 500.
Oh, wow. How many of those were somewhat legitimate?
Oh, gosh. 50 to 100, maybe at the most. I would say probably closer to 50. I mean, considering now there's about 60 companies, and I would say there's maybe a dozen that I would say are really, really high quality companies. And there's a few that are just kind of, throwing uranium on their name and hoping to ride the wave. Most of the companies that are around now are the survivors of the bear market. But yeah, the previous bull market went from a 20-year bear market with like six or eight publicly traded companies to close to 500 in, 4 years. It was just stupid.
Is it the companies that have hung around for so long and are legitimate that perform the best, or is it the something new that comes along just at the right time and is just able to pick up a decent asset or two?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, if you're saying perform the best as far as in terms of total returns, sometimes the new companies that show up might be the biggest winners as far as multiples on your investment. If you catch it right at the very beginning, these low valued exploration companies that make a discovery during a bull market could vastly outperform, let's say, a tried and true, solidly run company that's cash flow producing, which there aren't very, very many right now. Those might end up with a larger market cap in the end, but you might not see as great a return on your investment as some of the speculative small caps that let's say that if a small cap company can make a discovery and push it towards production during a bull market, that's usually a pretty explosive percentage return from the bottom.
Is that the best place to find 10 baggers? Is it in Explorers, or could it also be in a company that has just pounds in the ground and is super cheap?
It can be both. I mean, Explorers are more risky because you're essentially gambling on whether or not they're going to hit something. And, you know, past isn't always prologue, but it's possible that we see ridiculous valuations based on not a whole lot of fundamental value in this coming bull market as well as in the last market. So just anything in the sector, just they've got some moose pasture with, you know, a handful of millions of pounds of historical resource that might catch a bid just because they do a good job promoting, or it just catches some momentum. Not really sure why. At this point in the market, I prefer to buy companies that have really, really solid management, have a decent resource at least, and have a plan. I really like the companies that their whole story isn't written yet. I find those much more exciting investments, especially if you can read the tea leaves and pick up on what management is forecasting, what their plans are. Those are the really exciting companies. I don't want to give out the name necessarily, but you know, there's a really, really small cap company that we tipped our newsletter off to in June that was absolutely unrecognized, and it's slowly starting to become recognized. And this was something that, you know, just on paper looked completely absurd and not really investable for the most part. But if you actually speak to the management company, not only see what they've done in the past, but see what management plans for the coming market and for the company, then you can kind of understand the potential for the stock. And that one is up, let's see, that one's up 5x since June. So that's been a really, really big winner for us. But yeah, I mean, you can hit it out of the park if you buy a cheap Explorer and they make a discovery. But I like the companies that are a little bit less risky, that have some semblance of a decent resource and a good jurisdiction and a management team that can bring that resource at least towards production during a bull market, if not into production.
Do you see more companies going public? I mean, are you aware of kind of what's going on as far as deal flow and companies behind the scenes looking to pick up more assets with uranium potential?
Yeah, we try to stay on top of all of that. There's been a handful. There's been maybe a half dozen that have kind of come out of the woodwork in the past year or so. For example, there's Baseload Energy, which is run by James Sykes, the geologist that discovered the NextGen's Arrow project. That's a recent IPO this year. There's one called International Consolidated Uranium that did a name change from NX Gold. So that's, I guess you could call that a new uranium company. Let's see. I think it was GTI Resources. There's two or three on the ASX that kind of bought some moose pasture in the United States and listed and changed their name or gone to the uranium side. It was GTI Resources. I think Lotus was another one. I'm missing a couple off the top of my head, but we're starting to see, Standard Uranium. They're an explorer in the Athabasca. They're starting to kind of pop up. It hasn't quite been a total gold rush into the space yet, as far as new companies, but we're definitely seeing it happen.
You'd have to think with the increased number of interviews that you're doing, the performance of these stocks, we're talking about it here today. One would have to think that the guys who are in the industry, that they're probably looking to see if they can pick up an asset or two and go public. I mean, you'd have to think that activity in 2021 will probably mushroom.
Definitely, yeah. I am hearing that. There are some players that historically have not necessarily even been, let's say, managers of publicly traded company, resource companies, but they've been involved in the space or one way or another, that are looking to get on that train, whether it's by literally being part of some sort of fund that's purchasing physical pounds, or actually, you know, publicly listing and owning some uranium bearing properties and getting the funding set and all of that. So that's starting to happen. We're definitely hearing a little bit of that.
Okay, so let's say we're retail investors. There's probably a lot of retail investors listening. First thing they should do is subscribe to your newsletter, of course. But beyond that, what should they do? What should they start looking at? Where should they start researching?
Yeah, I mean, our newsletter is a good place to start. And we obviously we give people our stock recommendations right up front upon subscribing. And we've done really well. Our portfolio is up 150% since last August, which is great. But besides, you know, subscribing to our service or another service, you know, Smith Weekly has a great service. They also have stock recommendations, and he has something called the Nuke Report. Andrew Weekly does a Nuke Report that's a very thorough investigation and report on the whole sector and the underlying fundamentals. So somebody who wants to read a deep report on the entire sector, that's a great service as well. If you want to start from scratch and understanding the setup, you can go through any of, you know, I mean, my historical interviews with Mike Alkin and his partner, Tim Chileri, are fantastic over the past 3 years. Even if you go back 2 or 3 years, it's still relevant. The basics of the thesis are still intact. So that's a good place to start. As far as actual data on the sector overall, the WNA website is really, really good. That's the World Nuclear Association. And then as far as on the equity side of things, Twitter is a fantastic resource. Macro News, follow John Quakes for everything else. You can follow me. You can follow, there's a handful of other people. If you just follow myself and Quakes, you'll get tied in with the whole community. But that's really a good place to start. And there's abundant information out there, just through podcasts like your own. And on YouTube as well. So if you have the inquisitiveness to dig into it, there's plenty of info out there if you just start looking. And then on top of that, to be more specific, to finish answering that, once you start to get interested in a company, I really highly suggest doing a little bit of background research into the company, into the balance sheet, into their projects. Into management, formulate a half dozen informed questions and call the company. I mean, that's something that 1% of investors do, and it can give you such an incredible edge. Just talking with these companies directly will, I mean, that's how we've positioned in a lot of our stocks at this point, because we know something about the company. It's not necessarily inside information, but, you know, you can pick up on what managers are telling you. Through their voice and what they're saying, so much more so than reading a presentation or a Twitter thread even. So the more research you can do in direct communication with the company, it really can give you an edge in this space.
So how do you think this new bull market will be different from the last one, if different at all?
Good question. It's really a different market. I personally think that it's going to be longer and probably less of an extreme price spike, which is great for the companies involved, because the last price spike happened so quickly. There were one or two companies that were actually able to make it happen and get into production. It just happened so quickly that it was a speculative fireworks show, but it wasn't really sustaining for the industry. The biggest difference is that there actually is a supply deficit currently, and there never was in the previous market. It was all speculation on China growth, and it was utilities being uncovered in term contracts, followed by a couple of black swans with both MacArthur River and Cigar Lake flooding over the course of a couple of years that set the utilities kind of in a panic, in a contracting panic. I don't think it's going to happen the same, although the way that the sector moves so incredibly slowly with the fuel cycle, you know, from mining uranium to fabricated fuel going into the reactors is 12 to 18 months at least. And so it just moves so slowly. So even if we had a balanced market, let's say in 3 years with uranium up at $50 to $60, MacArthur River and Langer Heinrich back online, I mean, this is like everything goes perfectly smoothly, right? Even if we have a quote-unquote balanced market, that doesn't mean that the price doesn't continue to move, because you still have utilities fighting for pounds both with each other, potentially with producers, and with traders, and you never know when hedge funds might even come into the space like they did in the last market. That's something that this Bear Traps Report article actually speculated on, was the potential for hedge funds to buy up the equities, buy up the physical funds like UPC and Yellowcake, and then go in and literally buy physical pounds off of the market in order to squeeze the market, push the price up, therefore their investments. And it's highly likely that that happens in this cycle as well. So it's difficult to say price targets. I believe 2021 is going to be a very strong year, although I don't expect it to be a fireworks year. I could be wrong. I think 2021 will be our confirmation year of a bull market. I think we'll still see very strong moves in the equities. I think that we could see potentially low 40s in the spot price by the end of 2021, maybe higher. And then I think 2022, 2023 are probably going to be very, very solidly strong years. Of course, I don't have a crystal ball. Anything can happen, but that's kind of how I'm seeing it right now. And so, yeah, the biggest thing that's different in this market is that, A, well, we have Kazatomprom that we didn't really have in the last market. They were kind of a fledgling state-owned company that was greatly increasing their production. At this point, I believe Kazatomprom's production has peaked. That might be kind of a hot take here, but I think their production has peaked. And I don't think that they can come in and flood the market as they did in the last market. And we have an actual supply deficit. So we have a more convincing underpinning of fundamentals in this market that should do a really good job of keeping it afloat and keeping a solidly rising base of the commodity price. So that's kind of what I'm expecting for this run.
So looking at exploration companies, is the goal for them to find something that a Cameco or another company would buy? How active are Cameco and the other larger companies in wanting to acquire strong development or exploration assets?
Cameco doesn't really seem to be active on that front at all. They could be interested without sharing that information. They've been asked that on previous conference calls multiple times. They've expressed no interest in making acquisitions. You know, when even less than a year ago, let's say January, February, we had really, really low valuations for these companies. And there were a lot of people that were screaming that Cameco should go and scoop up NextGen while it was, you know, $150 million, $200 million company, whatever it was. Maybe it was a bit higher at the low. But they weren't interested in it. And Cameco they've got Cigar Lake for another, let's say, 8 years-ish. Much of Cigar Lake is already contracted out as far as that future production. They have Cigar Lake Phase 2. They can go into a different phase of that mine with another substantial deposit, although it needs significantly higher prices. It's lower grades. They also have MacArthur River. They've yet to restart with another, you know, 10 years of mine life on that thing. And then they've got some smaller projects in the States and even smaller projects in the Athabasca. They do have some nearby companies, ISO Energy, which is majority owned by NextGen. Their Hurricane project, Hurricane deposit on the LaRoque East project is actually the big hits that they've made on their drilling is right on the border of Cameco's property. So in essence, they've kind of been drilling out Cameco's deposit. You know, the deposit doesn't stop at the borderline. So that's, some people speculate there could be some sort of JV type situation there. I don't really know on that front, but as far as how the market conditions are currently, they don't seem to be that interested. Orano, on the other hand, they're still funding a number of JV exploration projects, including one for Forum Energy Metals, which I think is the stock that I gave your listeners last December, and is up. I think it's up 3x since our talk last December. So they're exploring Fur Island, which is a small uranium exploration project on the north side of the Athabasca that's a JV with Orano. So Orano is definitely, I think that they're probably more in need of seeking some new projects, considering that, well, not only is Cigar down again in MacArthur, which they've got an offtake from MacArthur, but they are closing their Cominac mine in northern Niger this year, or I'm sorry, in the next few months, the early part of next year. So they're gonna need to bring some new production on somewhere. So it's possible they might be looking at some takeout targets, but it's too early to say on that one.
Okay, on that note, we'll wrap this up, but Justin, please tell our audience where they can go to find your work, how they can subscribe, and if you're in the mood because it's a Christmas season, maybe share a stock pick. Season of giving.
The season of giving. Well, I can be found kind of everywhere, Uranium Insider on Twitter, Uranium Insider at Gmail, if you want to reach out directly, and uraniuminsider.com. I try to be pretty accessible if anybody wants to hit me up and has questions, through Twitter or through Twitter direct message or through email. Let's see, gosh, a stock pick for the next year. You know, I'll give you one. This is not one that, that we've put out to the newsletter, but I think it's kind of speculative because it's sort of in that world. It's owned and run by the same guy who's kind of behind Baseload Energy, which is the uranium company run by James Sykes. His name is Stephen Stewart, and he has a group of stocks. I believe they called the Ore Finders group. There's four or five stocks, and there's a copper and gold stock called QC Copper. It's QCCU, I think, is the ticker. It looks like a really fantastic speculation in the space, and I really like Stephen Stewart. I think he's doing an amazing job running all of these companies, or at least being involved in all of these companies. And I also think, you know, if you're going to speculate on an explorer, which we tend to not do in the newsletter because we go for a little bit safer plays, I think Baseload is a great speculation on an explorer just because of James Sykes' fantastic track record of finding uranium deposits. You know, he's discovered, or at least been part of discovering, 500 million pounds in the Athabasca. And he's just an all-around really great guy. And Stephen Stewart, I think, is doing a really good job on the back end of that. So securing financing, getting the stock on the good exchanges. They just listed on the OTC as well. So I think either of those two are good stocks to watch for the coming year. That's QC Copper and Gold and Baseload.
Okay, Justin, thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us an update on uranium. We really appreciate it and look forward to getting another update from you possibly in the months ahead.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Jordan. Good to chat again. Have a happy new year and a happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the 10 Bagger Podcast, presented by The Daily Gold. For premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.